people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and create a conversation with friends, family, the person we meet on the street. Maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. There's nothing like a good movie to spark an idea, spark a conversation. Decided I wanted to watch a movie with old Crazy Eyes himself, Mel Gibson. Grew up on him, so fun enough. But I wanted to watch The Patriot, you know, that movie that takes place during the Revolutionary War. A little bit of background. See no reason to alert of spoilers. Just pretty sure this movie came out on VHS. It's been out long enough. But this character, this individual, had previously served in, I believe it was the French-Indian War here in the States. And the colonies were deciding together whether or not they wanted to go to war with Britain. Done with all the shenanigans that the king was imposing. No more tea for... No more taxation without representation. Throw the tea in the harbor kind of situation, right? And he offers a great argument during the town hall meeting, I guess we'll call it, where everybody's getting together, getting ready to vote, that he's not in any disagreement with the people going to war or voting to go to war, but he's in disagreement of bringing war to everybody's front houses, not a battle in some distant, far-off land. And obviously no TV and radio to send things back. Only potentially letters from friends and family, letting them know what's going on the battlefront, beefing themselves up, creating stories of grandeur. No, again, those battles would actually come through everybody's farms and towns, and they would see things. And it's not a pretty picture. It's not something to be enjoyed. But the purpose was there. And so the United States, or the 13 colonies, excuse me, voted to go to war. And Mel Gibson's able to stay out of the issue for a long enough period of time, but one of the British officers decides to do things his own way, a little bit more devious than how the commanding general would hope to have these individuals be treated. He wants them to be able to return to commerce with them once the battle is over. But this commander keeps killing everybody, prisoners of war and such, making sure that if you served for the rebel force, you're to be disposed of. And through a series of events, Mel Gibson and his family are pulled into the war due to the death of one of his children. Gets all the blood in his eyes, goes Mel Gibson crazy, exacts his revenge, and then decides to start a militia in this time of an occupying force. Just a ragtag bunch of people grouped together, creating little problems here and there for this Red Army. It's not the Red Army, it's the Redcoats. Need to get my eras fixed and correct. But out there doing his part, chipping into the overall battle. Not a direct combatant of war, yet still obviously a direct combatant of war, but not one of the troops that would go line up, old chessboard style. Everybody line up, face each other from like 20 feet apart, and fire. Shoot muskets, which had terrible accuracy, no rifling, just kind of shot lead in there, and had to close your eyes. They didn't have smokeless firepower or gunpowder. So not only are you aiming your gun, you're turning your face away because the flint strikes. And by the end of the third or fourth round, no one can see anything because it's all just a clouded field. But also a different era in which the gun was your main source of being able to, I don't know about your main source, but an integral part of acquiring your own food, being able to go out and go hunting. And shoot a deer. A little bit more respect of the sanctity of life, because on a farm, it's, you're not killing cows, you're killing chickens, you're killing the deer, you're killing the pigs, all sorts of critters, fending off wolves and bears and the like to protect your flock. But again, it's those people that are willing and able to step up, take the stand, move forward, and run into the burning house that at some point we need to focus and respect on. We have the armed services. We have people today that step up, take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against threats, both foreign and domestic. Seems to be mostly foreign these days. Not necessarily a problem when defending the homeland. Don't have to worry about individuals here blowing up our houses or our businesses, our streets, our schools. Don't have to necessarily worry about rebel fighters going through and burning everything down. And as of today, as of what the foreseeable seems to hold, we don't have to worry about an occupying force, which we are very fortunate. But at the beginning of our Constitution, we have those bills, the Bill of Rights, inalienable rights given to us by our Creator, not by government. Things that are installed to restrict what the government is able to do, rules it's able to enact to guarantee that we maintain these rights. The second one, a very hot topic item, something very easily getting under a lot of people's skins, and I'm not here to tell you to think one way or another and let you have your own opinion and let you evolve your own opinion however you feel. But a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We've heard the shall not be infringed time and time again. Let that argument sit by the wayside. But a well-regulated militia came across two articles that documented, went through back into the early 1700s through the 1800s. Talking about how the use of well-regulated is determined. And in a nutshell, it's determined as well-oiled, well-functioning, not government-regulated, but granted, they didn't have cars back in the very beginning, but if your car's running on all eight cylinders, or all six as in today's terms, maybe four, it's well-regulated. It's running fine, top of shape, smooth and flowing. And as we should. We don't want a group of riffraff out there to be rooting, tooting, gun shooting out there. We want responsible, respectable citizens who are willing to stand up and protect this country, their society, and also this militia being necessary to the security of a free state. People that are able to defend themselves from a corrupt government, a group of individuals that would like to see things turn one way or another, and preferably by force. It seems to be the regular way of going. I've been learning a lot about World War II and a little bit earlier than that, Russia. I tip my hat to that society and the chaos that they've gone through. The Gulag Archipelago offers quite the bit of information on how things got started and how things played out. What a series of guns and militias changed things? Maybe, probably not. Not the way that Stalin ruled. We can look at World War II Germany. I read a book suggested by Farmer Todd. Thank you for that suggestion. Great book. Boys in the Boat. Intertwined how Germany was setting up Berlin for the 1936 Olympics right before they went headlong into their own deal to start World War II. Their collection and rounding up of the Jews and the gypsies and the homeless. Just kind of scooped them up and threw them off. Made them disappear. A little bit different of a situation in the terms of the public view on how Hitler came to power and whatnot. But still, nonetheless, it happened. Could there and would there have been people to stand up if there wasn't a gun registry that Hitler did before he went through and confiscated all the guns? Not too long ago was the anniversary of the Tank Man, the little scene in China where we only see the one individual man standing in front of a series of tanks. Will an AR-15 do much against a tank? Probably not. Does it give incentive to other individuals to gather together? Maybe. We can think back in the day of just pitchforks and torches. That's enough to cause a problem. Sends a message. Being able to defend yourself. And to loop it again back around here to the United States. I didn't think to look for it until just now, but I know there's plenty of arguments available to be found of the Second Amendment being very important during the Civil Rights era, when the police officers wouldn't patrol or take care of the black streets, the black neighborhoods. And so if those individuals wanted to protect themselves from whichever threat, rifles were the way to go. Handguns are legal due to another case ruling that I didn't think to look up, but have in mind. Handguns being there for women to defend against themselves, because there's a difference in physical body strength, and so call that a equalizer. We can look back into the deeper parts of history in terms of an equalizer, and we can look at an individual named Cassius Clay during the Lincoln era, who was an abolitionist, someone who didn't want slaves, who had cannons in his front yard, guns throughout his house, because of his position, living in Kentucky, his political position, always out there having to defend himself, defend his farm and his property. Now that's on an individual level. All of these seem to be a little bit more on the individuals, but point is there. And the states are not always quiet and polite. We can look at the Battle of Athens in Tennessee. The point where corrupted politicians were stuffing the ballot box. And World War II vets gathered together. They knew that it wasn't possible, and they took over the place. They took over City Hall just a couple of days to prove their point. People got hurt. It wasn't just a picnic. Very serious situation. But the story happened. They got the corrupt politicians out. Who knows how the court proceedings played out? Who knows how court, let alone TV proceedings, would run around today. And as I sit here and discuss all this, I don't want any of this brought to our doorsteps. I've never seen war, never seen battle. Been in some fist fights, I've seen some fist fights. Those are bad enough. Sometimes a fist fight's the only way to get through to certain individuals. And I don't say that lightly. I'd prefer to be able to talk it out. We are supposed to be a civilized society, and we're supposed to be able to sit down and have a conversation and hash it out. We need to figure out how to be able to talk to people, face to face preferably. We don't have to move giant swaths of individuals. And again, we're not always going to sway individuals into our way of thinking. But if we can be polite enough and gentle enough, we can at least plant a seed and hope that they see our side of you, and at the same time, we need to be open and receptive to being able to see other people's points of view. I fear of the day we have a security state so locked down that it will be too late. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't want problems, I don't want bloodshed. But again, I want us to understand, dig a little deeper within ourselves and within ourselves as a community, not as just as individuals. Oh, I hope that's not all dismal and dreary. But it's all talking points. Ideas to get us going and flowing. And we have an executive producer today for this episode. Ahoy! Your undeniably stimulating and enriching content is worth far more than a few shekels, matey. Forgive me for being so negligent and properly showing my support and appreciation. Let me try to shed such douchebaggery and scallywagginess. Thank you, Quirkus, for a donation of $53.69. Thank you for chipping in, supporting the show. Supporting me, Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You can find me on Twitter, Gab, at Billy Bones. You find me on No Agenda Social, the Mastodon Fettyverse. At Billy Bones at noagendasocial.com. You find me on my website for longer forms communication, billybones.com. Again, spelt the same way with the number 3 instead of an E. In there, you can also find links to show notes. There's a handful for today, but also for previous episodes. There's a link to subscribe with your podcatcher. And there's a donation link. Quirk has found it. You can too if you feel that this show is worth a monetary value. Because this show is value for value. If you found value out of this podcast, either this episode or any of the previous ones, glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is give the show a share. Maybe someone else will find value in it. But again, if you found monetary value in there, you go to billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, you click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal, and you can chip in whatever you feel your time is worth it for the time that I put in. But in the meantime, thanks for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.